All right, welcome back, Coast to Coast. A photographer has infiltrated an abandoned Disney complex and has captured unnerving images from the abandoned water park hidden within the confines of Walt Disney World. Once the site of countless family vacations, Disney's River Country Water Park opened in 1976 and was a featured part of the entertainment complex till it was closed down in 2001. Creepy images, and you can check them out right now and read the full story over at coasttocoastam.com. Our guest tonight, Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. His book, Alien Scriptures, Extraterrestrials, and the Holy Bible. Your phone calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. And this is an Easter weekend, and I told everybody at the beginning of the show, get involved with the conversation. So we're going to do that right now. Let's go to the first time caller line, Chris in El Paso, Texas. Chris, welcome to Coast AM.
Well, thanks very much, Jimmy. And I'd like to say hello to the Reverend.
Hi, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Okay, good deal.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Chris. What's your question?
Okay, no, I don't have a question per se, but I just want to make a comment quickly just on what the Reverend made mention that Jesus was an extraterrestrial.
No, that was my comment.
Okay. Yeah, but the truth is on the matter. I don't have any questions on that, to be honest. But the truth is, just to kind of put it out there to help whoever is interested in that, Jesus initially was a spiritual being, just like the angels. He was, as John 3:16 says, he was the only begotten Son whom God made. And so, but when he came to the earth, he was, in fact, fully human, just like you and I. He could feel pain. He could feel, you know, he could feel joy. At times, the scripture speaks of him as being overjoyed by in the Holy Spirit. But when he was on the earth, as it says here, John 1:14 says, so the word, that is, the speaking of Christ Jesus, became flesh and resided among us, and we had a view of his glory. But long story short, there, when he came to the earth, he was fully human. He came to speak forth, as he says in John 8:32, so you should know the truth, and the truth would know you, would set you free. But the Bible, in fact, whether it be through Moses or Christ Jesus, it helps us to set that record straight so that we can know what we need to know about God, and that he can help us in these days that are troublesome that we live in. Because if you think of that term UFO, what does that mean? It indicates unidentified flying object. But listening to what Jesus said, you see, we don't have to go looking for unidentified flying objects, because God, through his word, and chiefly through his only begotten Son, Jesus, he makes himself known so that we can be, as Jesus says in John 8:32, set free from error and all sorts of, you know, wrong information that can ultimately lead to our disappointment if we, you know, don't accept the truth or find it as it is being dispensed at this time.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Chris. Really appreciate the call.
Thank you, Chris.
And y'all have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Happy Easter.
Absolutely. So what do you think about that, Reverend?
Well, first of all, I do agree with you. I think that Jesus was a hybrid. I think that, and I knew that was coming. I knew it because it has to come. What we're talking about is, you know, it's more fringe than fringe.
Right, right.
For some people, and he quoted scripture, and, you know, we can make scripture believe anything we want to believe. I would just say that as long as that makes Chris a more happy, authentic, and more loving human being, if he doesn't use or people use that knowledge to say, I'm right and you're wrong.
Reverend, let me jump in. Did you just say we could make the scripture believe what we want to believe?
Yeah, because it's all about interpretation. Now, I know some biblical languages. The Bible is very different written in Hebrew than it is in Greek. I'll give an example. We know that Jesus spoke Aramaic. We know that he probably spoke Latin because he talked to the Roman centurion.
That's right.
So we know that he was at least bilingual. And so, but what intrigued me is that if Jesus spoke Aramaic and Hebrew, why are we studying the Bible in Greek? That's like studying, you know, I speak English and we study it in Swahili. It doesn't translate. So that's why we have to be careful when we quote scriptures. But underneath all that, and I don't want to take away anybody's belief system, there's a hint of I'm right and you're wrong, in my opinion, in Chris's statement. And so for me, I have no problem with that. I'm not here to debate that, but I am saying love unites. Love doesn't divide. The people writing the Gospels were writing from a point of view. Luke was a Greek physician. Okay, John was in he was a Jewish man at odds with other Jewish people. So there was an inter-Jewish strife going on. And when you read the Gospel of John, Matthew was a scribe, and he was a Jewish Christian. So everybody's writing from their point of view. And you must, Mark has an addendum to his story. At first, Mark didn't have a resurrection part to his gospel. So you always got to take that into consideration. And people get nervous like that because it's like when you read a newspaper article, okay, I'm going to read something from the New Republic, knowing that's going to be coming from a conservative experience. So when you start quoting the Gospels, that's why I went to seminary. I'm still paying for my education. You got to know what was going on at the time. So to say John wrote blah, 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 that's true. But what's the context?
Well, no, that's exactly right. And I know I've talked to you about this before, but when I read the Bible, God spoke to me, you know what? I don't necessarily, and I don't want to inflame people here. I just want to let you know, you can interpret it any way you can. And I see radios or I see speakers coming from a ship in the clouds. I don't necessarily relate that to some booming voice from an all-knowing entity that we can't know and touch. I look at things differently and I interpret it my own way. And yeah, I go the ET slant. I go the science fiction slant. I do, because that's the way it reads to me, you know, and that's, it's fascinating that you would make that comment. Let's go back to the phones really quick. Let's go to west of the Rockies. Let's go to Steve right here in Los Angeles. Steve, welcome to Coast AM.
Oh, thank you. Happy Easter, fellas.
Happy Easter, brother.
You know, great, great conversation tonight. Good food for thought. Is it possible that this is all by design? So Jesus dies on the cross. He wins. His victory could be the suppression of this sacred knowledge, because the first history that I could find where God and man mingled and they talked about it, and I don't think they had this suppression, was Alexander the Great. I think that might have been the last one. There was Gilgamesh and a few other tales where the gods mixed with men, and there was this suppression didn't exist. And that was it. By the way, that time I think was the age of Aries, and that's pertinent, I think, in the long run, because we moved into the age of Pisces.
Yes.
And that's the sign for that is the fish.
Yes.
And that's Jesus's sign. And I think this age is the age of man being left to his own devices to govern himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read Revelation and even parts of Genesis and even the stories of the Jews being rebellious and disobeying God, it really boils down to there's going to be a change in government.
Well, let me go back to your point, though, Steve, and thank you for the phone call. Reverend, his question was, do you think it was Jesus suppressing information that he was coming here with?
Well, first of all, he had a lot of information there. We went from Gilgamesh to Alexander the Great to Jesus. I mean, obviously very knowledgeable and trying to cram a lot into the question. I will go with the first part because, you know, the other parts of that question is a show in and of itself. And again, Steve is talking about his interpretation. Remember, he said, for me, it means. For me, I don't think Jesus was trying to suppress any information per se, even though in one of the Gospels he says, I talk in parables so that those who can understand can and those who can't won't. But that, I think that was more of some people weren't ready spiritually for some of his message. If you want to, he talked about winning. Jesus wins. Well, he wins in this aspect, that life, that death is not the end, that the contradictions of life are not final. We go through that every day when we say something, you know, we think something's going to happen and then a new life comes in. We get the job, we get the relationship, we get the contradictions of life are not final. The message of Jesus is that there are some things worse than death. And that's not living a life of forgiveness. That's not living a life of love. That's not living a life of commitment. So in that way, you could say he wins. Or that good will all, Dr. King had a wonderful statement. He said that he believed that good temporarily defeated is still more powerful than evil triumphant.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's go to wild card Gary in London, Ontario. Gary, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing? Thank you very much for taking my call. And I'm very religious. I got religious, you know, from the time I was born, I guess I was religious. I drew a picture of Jesus on the cross when I was about 4 years old, showed my grandmother, and she had me put it on her wall and showed everybody when they came in. But I've been a reader all my life, and I've got a book called Bloodline of the Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah, great book.
The Good Doctors. Have you read it?
Oh, we've all read that. That's required reading for this job.
Yeah, I thought so. And I've never mentioned it before, but I bought it about a year ago at Value Village. And I've read it cover to cover, and it's The Hidden Lineage of Jesus Revealed, it says, and it's by Lawrence Gardner. And I'm apparently related to Jesus Christ because my great ancestor, ancient ancestor, is King Robert of Scotland.
Mm.
My grandfather came from Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And told my grandmother on my dad's side that he was related to King Robert the Bruce of Scotland.
Interesting.
And,
okay.
And they mention him in this book. They've got the lineage of the Bruces.
Yes, they do. And, yes.
And it comes down from Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
So he married Mary Magdalene, apparently, according to this book.
That's right.
And they had two children, one named Jesus Joseph, and I forget what the other boy's name was.
You know, Gary, you should get your DNA checked. I'm not kidding about that. You should get your DNA checked.
I should, I guess, but I haven't gone to anybody. But I've also came upon a book back in 2010 called Bringers of the Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Heard of that?
Barbara Marsha.
Yep.
Barbara Marciniak, very lovely looking girl. And she's a channeler, lives in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And
she's pretty interesting. I've listened to her. She's got a great accent too, as well.
I've never heard her.
Oh yeah, you can check her out. But anyway, Gary, before we run out of time here, what's your question for the good Reverend?
I'm afraid of. I don't really. Well, I kind of agree with everything he says, except that I don't know about Jesus being a hybrid. I have never really heard that he is, but I got a book called Heaven is So Real. I was looking for a copy of Heaven is For Real by Todd Burpo. Have you read that one?
I've heard of it, yes.
His son almost died of appendicitis, and he got a trip to heaven in a near-death experience and saw his great-great-grandfather, who died before this Colton Burpo was born, and Colton was only about 4 years old and told about this trip to heaven where he met his grandfather who died when he was 61 years of age. and then saw his sister, who had not been born. His mother had a miscarriage. And she asked him who looked after this little girl, because she was alive in heaven. And she came up and hugged him, and she was almost as big as he was, and he was only 3 to 4 years old. So this is ridiculous, but it sounds ridiculous. I sound like a nutcase. But I read the book, and I went back over to Value Village to try to get more copies of it, and ended up getting 5 more copies, one of which was based on the movie they made about it.
Well, Gary, thank you for the phone call, but let me ask you I want to ask you a question, okay?
Uh-huh.
Sure. The alien hybrid idea, when it comes to Jesus, what is wrong with that? When we, you know, you weren't there, I wasn't there.
I don't believe there's anything wrong with it.
Okay.
We don't know how this universe operates, but the Pleiadians, who are what Barbara Marciniak writes about, say that the Pleiadians think we're very backward and unevolved, and they're trying to increase our evolution by sending cosmic rays at us and trying to increase our DNA and our chakras.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I'm glad that you're open-minded to that. Gary, thank you for the phone call.
I am. Can I mention the other woman? Her name is Norma J. Milanovic, and you should have both of these women on your program because they'll straighten out a whole lot of wrong thinking and right thinking.
Have a
get her on the right track. And George said, I've got to get her on the program one day, this Barbara Marciniak. And he's never done it that I've heard. I listen to Coast all the time. And it's led me to God, basically, because I had an altercation with a woman that I stabbed because she was abusing her mother. She had an Onyx pillar. She threw it out in the garbage. And she threw out her German tapes that she taped when she was in large Germany. And it just devastated the woman. She ended up dying because of what they called cancer. I don't know whether she had it or not.
Right.
I looked after her. Her name was Crystal Ava Kilo. And she came from Tilsit in East Prussia originally. That's where she was born.
Well, Gary, we're at a commercial break. Have a great, safe rest of your Easter Sunday.
Okay, I will. I'm going to church tomorrow. I found a church through a woman I met in Value Village.
Okay. Gary, we're against the commercial. Have a great night. Thank you so much. All right, Michael, when we come back after the break, I've got a ton of calls lined up. Let's get the rest of these out of the way. But okay. The Jesus alien hybrid question. It is controversial, but
it is. But I just want to say this before we get the break. But also, you know, Palladians. If you read the Talmud of Jemmanuel, which is Billy Myers, he got the take of it's the Gospel of Matthew from a Palladian perspective. They say that Jemmanuel is a hybrid, which raises a whole bunch of other issues. If you read it, I read it every morning.
Let me jump in right there. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. His book, Alien Scriptures, Extraterrestrials, and the Holy Bible. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. I want to remind everybody that my show, Fade to Black, just click on my name over at Coast to Coast AM. Simple enough, take you to my website. That show is live Monday through Thursday, 7 to 10 p.m. right before Coast to Coast, and that was always designed that way. So you can get yourself 7 hours of the best stuff every single night. Next week, we're going to do the Secret Space Program and Breakaway Civilizations all week long. Just click on my name over at Coast. Our guest tonight is Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. His book, Alien Scriptures, Extraterrestrials, and the Holy Bible. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Your calls next. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Michael J.S. Carter, the good reverend. Let's go to the east of the Rockies, Greg in New Jersey. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Yes, good morning, good evening, and to Reverend Michael. Reverend Michael, are you familiar with what happens in Jerusalem every year on Orthodox Easter with what's called the Holy Fire?
No, I'm not.
Well, in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the patriarch essentially descends into the tomb, and a while later, it is believed for, 1,500 years, the candles light miraculously. About 10,000 people are crammed into the church, and the candles literally light themselves all around the church. This has been captured on film, actually. I have neighbors who have witnessed this through the years. My point is, I'm at the Eastern Orthodox Church, so we celebrate Easter 5 weeks from now. There's so much miraculous stuff that happens, especially in the older traditions of Christianity. Are you familiar with the icons that are...
Yes, I am, very much so.
We have actually several, not far here from New York, where several people no longer have pancreatic cancer, if you will, and the doctors are flabbergasted by it. I've seen this thing myself. It's an icon of Mary, and it goes back to Mount Athos with the great center of Eastern Church spirituality. There's so many things like that happen that, to me, when we speculate about what happened, having to do with extraterrestrials, it's almost like the things that we can see are that miraculous. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do. And thank you for the phone call, Greg. Have a great weekend.
You too.
That's a great point, isn't it?
It is. It reminds me of some of what happens in the Jewish tradition about when the menorah was lit. I mean, the thing is this. These miracles happened, and they're spectacular, but there's also the miracle of everyday life. There's the miracle of an enemy becoming a friend. There's a miracle of changing our consciousness about things, and that's what I want to leave people with in the time remaining, that it's whether Jesus is extraterrestrial, which I believe he is part of, that's really not the issue. It's sensational, and it's good to talk about, but it's his teachings on compassion and forgiveness and commitment that are what we want to focus on in order to make the world that we say we want to have.
Well, certainly.
Yes.
And one of the points that I think he was trying to make, too, as well, is what we wouldn't necessarily consider magic today. We understand the technical sides of things, but... to witness that in an ET or an extraterrestrial sense 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, it is magic. It is a miracle.
It is a miracle. I forgot. There's a famous quote about it. I forget who says it. Our technology to someone at that time is nothing short of magic.
All of it. of it, Michael.
Yeah. And so, because I want to, because even though we're talking about this and it's Easter, the bottom line is that that's what it's about, that this the celebration of this man's life, that he was committed to the God as he understood it. He lived his life as an example for all of us to emulate, if you will, in our own unique way. And I think that if he was alive today, or we could argue that he is, his spirit at least is, he would say that that's what I want you to focus on, the way I live, because that's the example. And what I am is potential in you. I'm not better than you. I come from the gentleman before said he's a descendant of Jesus. Well, we all are.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, actually.
Yeah, we all are. And so what do you do with that? With that knowledge, do you use it to separate? I'm a descendant of Jesus, and you're not. Or do you use it to unite people?
Let's go to the first time caller line, Jim in South Bend, Indiana. Jim, welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning, there, Jimmy and Mike.
Good morning, brother. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. I want to make a comment real quick, referring to Ezekiel. My belief is. That's an aircraft, a jet, and it's interesting that Psalms 18 speaks about that, yea, he rode upon a cherub, yea, he did fly, yea, he flew upon the wings of the wind. Now, what I'm trying to say is, that the jet, which two wings on each side, lifts up its feet underneath. The crystal canopy is the canopy. It sounds like sounds of thunder. It comes out of the sky like a cloud, and it has terrible rings. Well, the rings were basically the JDAM system, which is in the camera system. Well, we'll flip forward a little bit to Daniel, and he talks about chapter 7 and the seven beasts, the four beasts. Well, one's a helicopter. First one's an airplane, second one's a missile, third one's a helicopter, and the fourth one's the automobile. Well, they're ored from all the ground. We have to ore them to process them in a smelter and get the steel. And each of those, without bearings or wheels, cars, jets, machinery, nothing will work. We don't see square bearings. And that's one of the seven thunders in Revelation. And understanding that, which I tell a lot of people, and I do preach this to people, and they do see these things. And I basically say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, even so, amen. So basically, I'm kind of like revealing that these beasts were really actually what we're living here in modern day times, which are cars, automobiles, planes, trains. The great centipede is the train. The caterpillar is actually an earth mover called a caterpillar. Your comment on that at all?
Yeah, thank you so much. And I agree with a lot of that, Jim. Thank you for the phone call. And Michael, he's seeing an actual aircraft and bearings, you know, a jet and the sound and the canopy from the direct description. I don't have an issue with that.
I don't either. It's something that is magic. It's something that flies. It's something that he's trying to describe. It's technology that he is definitely not used to seeing. So, you know, it's another interpretation. And that's what we're doing.
Let's go to Leona Wildcard out of North Carolina. Leona, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Good morning, and thank you for having the show. It's really interesting. I wanted to ask the Reverend, if I may, when we're talking about the Bible, I assume we're talking about the King James Version, and like you said, there's been all of these changes in language and interpretation.
Okay. Oh, Jim, I was just wondering about... We're not talking about King James. I don't use that. I just wanted to let you know I don't use that translation.
Okay, what Bible are you using?
I'm using the Aramaic translation into English, which again is what Jesus spoke. I'm using the Revised Standard Version, which is what I used in seminary, and the American Standard Version. They seem to be better translations, yeah.
Okay, Leona, what's your question?
Okay, well, my question is whether, I guess this Bible, if it includes any of the information that was in the other Gospels that aren't included, like the Gospel of Mary, and with the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Gnostic Gospels, if those also bring up anything about extraterrestrials. And I am with you guys on Jesus being a hybrid. I do.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call, Leona. Have a great rest of your Easter weekend. Michael, you have the Gospel of Judah. You have Mary. You have the Gnostic Gospels. Mm-hmm. Is there any reference to aliens or E.T. in any of those?
I would submit that. And first of all, let me answer her question. I have those as separate Bibles as opposed to all included in one Bible.
I don't think they have yet. Can you get it in one Bible?
I don't think you can get those, but they have something called Lost Books of the Bible. You can get some of those books, yeah.
Sure.
But since they weren't in the canon, they weren't included. And it was good to have a woman call, so I think that may have been the first woman tonight that we spoke to. I would submit that anywhere that you see the word angel, that you are talking about probably an off-world intelligence. Angel simply means messenger from the Greek angelos, and I would submit, as would Dr. Barry Downing and some others, that wherever you see an angel or messenger, we're probably talking about an off-world intelligence or an interdimensional being or an E.T.
Interesting. Let's go to, we've got enough time for a few more calls. So let's go to the international line, and we have Laurie in British Columbia. Welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you so much. I'll keep it really short, and I'll take my answer off air. What do you feel about the stigmata?
Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you, Lorian. Have a great, safe Easter. Stigmata.
I don't know anything other than that obviously it is real. I think we did a show on ancient aliens about relics and things like that in stigmata. I don't know anything else to say about it. Obviously, it's a phenomenon that can be interpreted many, many ways. But I think it's very real, and we need to make room in our cosmology for these types of phenomena.
Let's go all the way up to Alaska. Clifford, welcome to Coast AM.
How are you doing?
Doing good, Clifford. Say hi to the good Reverend.
How's the good Reverend doing?
Hey, Clifford. How are you, brother?
Oh, all right. It ain't raining and blowing up here.
It's going to be raining here, too.
Yeah, shortly. Clifford, real quick, what's your question?
How did so many people come up with the same thing without the internet, like all the religions?
Okay, there you go. That's actually a brilliant, heavy question.
Well, we could always go to the 100-monkey theory, where one monkey does one thing, and then all of a sudden monkeys all over the globe are doing it. That's one thing. But I think because there's a kernel of truth in all of these stories. And, you know, we have flood stories from all over the globe, okay? They're not all Noah, but even the Japanese have a flood story. I mean, there's because there's a truth there. We know it may not have been the exact story as Noah, with Noah, but we know that there was a flood, or probably several of them. We know, for instance, that the Tibetans, the Buddhists, have a story about St. Isa, okay? Fits the Jesus story. Prophet, Jewish, leaves there, goes to India, studies with all these masters, goes back, gets crucified, survives the crucifixion, goes back to the East. So people may say, oh, well, that couldn't happen, but there's a kernel of truth, and that's what we want to focus on. We know what divides us. We know that. That's the first thing we go for. But what we want to do is find out where the similarities in these stories about loving your neighbor, okay, about loving the earth, about feeding the needy, clothing the naked. I think that's the kernel of truth in all of these cosmologies.
Interesting. Let's go to first-time caller's line, Curtis, right here in California. Curtis, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, Curtis. Okay. Really quick for the good Reverend.
Super quick. My point, I've been listening to both of you guys, and I love everything I hear. I just love the fact that people are asking questions and having conversations that are not typical. But to me, what's occurred to me is that it's semantics. They, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, called it magic. We call it science. Isn't it the same thing? You guys both admitted that, okay, if it's a caterpillar, it could be some kind of modern construction thing. Fine. It's the same thing. Okay, Jesus was descended from God, part spiritual, part human, part this, part that. That's a hybrid. So saying he's an alien or saying he's an angel or the son of man, it's semantics. It's the same thing. You're just trying to repurpose past terminology and past language in the modern time and make it sound different. But it's kind of the same thing.
Hey, that's what we've been saying all night, Curtis.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was clear because heard different pieces over the last couple hours.
Well, you just repeated everything that we have been saying tonight.
You can use that sound capture for the website then if I purposely... perfectly encapsulated it. I just don't get what's the difference between being a half alien, half angel, half whatever. You're a hybrid. You're not a regular human. You're a superhuman. It's the same thing.
Exactly, Curtis. And you have a great rest of your Easter Sunday. Thank you so much.
I guess I thought that was original, but you're kind of just saying, no, we get it.
We do. And you get it too, Curtis. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a good night.
See, you gotta love it, Reverend.
I know people are talking about, and again, we don't have a problem with it. It's just that a lot of
people have problems with it. So that's the difference, and it's okay. But we're just asking people to think in a new way to keep the stories fresh, to keep them relevant, and probably to keep them going on to our kids and grandkids. The big deal is that people feel that people from outer space are, you know, there's a xenophobia, there's a fear factor there. So I think we don't want to downplay that, but basically, yeah, that's what we're saying, that these stories are being translated and they can be more relevant in our time because we're bringing it up to date, if you will.
Really quick, we're at the end of the show, so let me ask you a couple of things really quick. Are you on this latest season of Ancient Aliens?
No, I haven't been on in a couple years.
Well, I know that they're filming now, so I just thought that you were up for that. And are you speaking anywhere right now?
In July, I will be at, I think it's the July 5th, the weekend of July 15th, I'll be at the MUFON gathering in Phoenix to be speaking on this topic on UFOs and the Bible. And just my church responsibilities have kept me really busy, so that's all for now. Hopefully in the fall or some other things will be coming up.
I want to thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and the conversation is always the best, and just keep rolling the rock uphill. Thank you so much, Reverend.
Okay, brother, happy Easter. Take good care.
You too.
All right, so long.
The Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. What an awesome weekend I have had here on Coast to Coast. I want to thank everybody, thank all of the callers, thank everybody on Twitter. It's just been absolutely amazing. And one of the things that I want to stress with everybody as we wind this down here is you must listen. There's a difference between people out there that talk. Not enough. Listen. And when you listen, you learn, and that is what is most important. And there you go. Everybody have a great Easter Sunday tomorrow. Spend it with your friends, your family. I want to thank Nathan, George, Lisa, Tom, Gigi. This has been Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter, @JChurchRadio. Be safe. Go Beckley Tepe.